All right, good morning, everyone. We're going to call the May 19th Advisory Committee meeting to order. We'll go ahead and start with the roll call. Janine, you take this.
This is the roll call for the Advisory Committee meeting for Thursday, May 19th, 2022. City of Chino.
Dave Crosley.
City of Chino Hills.
Ron Craig.
City of Ontario.
Courtney Jones.
City of Pomona. City of Upland.
Nicole DeMowitt.
Cucamonga Valley Water District.
Amanda Coker.
Fontana Union Water Company.
Josh Swift.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Josh Swift.
Thank you. Fontana Water Company.
Chris Feely.
Harupa Community Services District.
Chris Birch.
Monte Vista Water District.
Justin Scacco.
Minor One San Antonio Water Company.
I am here, Brian Laser.
Minor Two, Monte Vista Irrigation Company.
Justin Scacco.
For the Agricultural Pool, Nathan DeBoom. Henry DeHaan. Robert Feenstra. John Heising. Ron LaBruchery. Vice Chair Pearson.
Present.
Ron Petersma. Larry Kane.
Present.
Pete Hall.
Present.
Pete Hall's here.
Larry Kane.
Larry, too.
Yes, I'm here.
Jimmy Madrano. For the non-agricultural pool, Vice Chair Guy.
Present.
Kathleen Brundage. Christopher Quatch. Mr. Chair, you have a quorum.
Thank you, Jimmy. Peter, do we have any additions or reorders to the agenda?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Members of the advisory committee, we have no additions and no need to reorder the agenda.
Thank you. All right, moving on to item one, the consent calendar. Anybody have questions, comments on the consent calendar, want to pull anything? Otherwise, go ahead, Chris.
No.
Otherwise, anybody want a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Chris.
No, and I go second.
Thank you, Brian. All right. And I think we'll just go, unless there's any dissent on this, any questions or concerns from anybody? The unanimous support. Thank you. All right, moving to item two is the business item, the Watermaster fiscal year 2022-2023 proposed budget. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chair, member of the advisory committee. In your packet on page 72 is the business item for today. It is the Watermaster fiscal year 2022-23 proposed budget. I do have the presentation for today. We can do this one of two ways. I can go through the presentation if you'd like. I could do a shorter version. This presentation was shown at the pools last week. It has also been shown at the budget release meeting on March 22nd, several times during the budget workshops, I believe a couple in April, one in May. So at the pleasure of the committee, I would proceed however you'd like.
Thank you, Joe. I know we've all had the chance to see this. Is there thoughts from anybody as part of the advisory committee that would like to listen to this again in any version? So.
Take the shortest version possible.
Would you like to hear the shortest version again?
If the shortest version is no version, I'll take that
okay.
As well.
All right. That is one of the options. So otherwise, let's open it up for discussion. right. Maybe there was enough discussion done at the pools and everyone's aligned. That's nice.
I'll make a comment. You know, I know we've had extensive discussion within the appropriative pool. Ontario still feels that the OBMP update items should be taken out of the budget, but we understand the pool's desire to move in a different direction. We still do not believe Watermaster has the authority to make parties pay for the OBMP CEQA prior to agreement by the parties, and this is not how it has been handled historically in the past. So just wanted to make that comment.
Thank you, Courtney. Go ahead, Justin.
I'll just add on to that. We agree with Ontario. I wanted to first express appreciation to Watermaster staff and Joe in particular for providing responses to Montevista's questions through the workshop process. From our perspective, we consider the advisory committee meeting here to actually be the start of the process of decision making for the budget. And we do continue to have some concerns about the budget. One item, we know there was a budget adjustment that occurred without advisory committee action, and we would still recommend that that be brought through the process for approval as a budget amendment consistent with judgment paragraph 30. And then just generally, we have a concern about the level of expenditures generally at $9.2 million, and would like to have a discussion, if at all possible, with the advisory committee if there is interest for how we could refine that. And then specifically the proposed items, LBMP, we agree with Ontario, as Courtney has very well expressed. And we also have concerns with the level of expenditures on the safe yield reset process. Just some very brief comments. Don't want to belabor it. There's not a pleasure amongst the committee members to go into more detail. Okay. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Justin. Appreciate it. Hi, Dave.
Gino would simply like to say that we agree with the viewpoint expressed by the City of Ontario's representative.
Thank you, Dave. Other comments around the room? Online, anybody have questions or comments with regards to the budget?
Mr. Chair, this is Ron Craig, City of Chino Hills.
Hi, Ron. Go ahead.
So I did want to acknowledge that the letter that the three agencies have submitted with concern over the OBMP update CEQA, as I described in the appropriative pool, I still feel it's very appropriate that we move forward with budgeting for that portion of the CEQA OBMP update program EIR. I think it's just in all of our interest to have it in place, broad mutual benefit to that, if you will. On behalf of Chino Hills, we, you know, look forward to continuing to work with those agencies and, in establishing whatever agreements, protocols, or might be necessary going forward, to the ultimate implementation of, components of the OBMP, update. But, with that said, I'm prepared to make a motion to approve the budget as is, inclusive of all the items presented by staff.
Thank you, Ron. We do have a motion. I'll continue discussion if necessary, but I want to see if there's a second.
There's a second. Agricultural.
Hukumanga will second.
Gotcha. All right. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it. All right, we have a motion and a second. Just want to make sure there's not further discussion. I just want to check, especially online, anybody else have comments or discussion they want to have? All right, we have a motion and a second. I think we'll move it to vote then.
I'm ready to vote then.
Ready when you are.
Please go ahead.
1, San Antonio Water Company.
Brian, are you on the line? Brian Lee, if Brian, you're on there, we're not hearing you. So.
Can you hear me you. Now?
Go ahead, Brian.
Sorry.
Yeah, gotcha.
I vote, yeah, Brian votes yes. I have two mute buttons. I can't figure out which one to use.
Whatever one last you did, that worked. So, all right, good. Thank you.
Minor 2, Monte Vista Irrigation Company.
Monte Vista Irrigation Company, on behalf of the minor producers, and my understanding is that the majority supports this, so we'll vote yes.
City of Chino Hills.
Ron Craig, yes.
City of Chino.
Dave Crosley, no.
Cucamonga Valley Water District.
Amanda Coker, yes.
Fontana Union Water Company.
Josh Swift, yes.
Fontana Water Company.
Chris Feely, yes.
Harupa Community Services District.
Chris Birch, yes.
Monte Vista Water District.
Justin Scott Coe, no.
City of Ontario.
Courtney Jones, no.
City of Pomona.
Chris Hayes, yes.
City of Upland.
Nicole DeMowitt, yes.
For the agricultural pool. Vice Chair Pearson.
Yes.
For the non-agricultural pool, Vice Chair Guy.
Yes.
The motion passes by majority vote.
Thank you, Jean. I guess before we just move on from this, obviously there was 95% of the stuff in the budget, I guess that would be a debatable number, but that everyone was fully in supportive of. So, we're looking forward to you moving forward with those items next year. Those others that are obviously part of some of the discussion and debate, my hope is, and I know I felt this amongst the appropriate pool, is that there's ways to, work on some of those items collaboratively and that we do a good job moving forward, with, particularly with OBMP. Items and think about principles and different things like that, we can all make sure that we're aligned, because ultimately we're going to need agreements that all of us are going to need to agree with. We want to make sure we're working towards that. So I appreciate the comments and feedback from our peers. So thank you. Thank you, Peter. All right. Next, we're going into reports and updates. Start with legal. I think I saw Brad on the line.
Morning, Mr. Chair, members
Morning,
of
Brad.
The committee. Can you hear me okay?
Hear you great. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, great. I don't have much new to report since last week. I will just jump to the things that I think are relevant since the last time the advisory committee was together. Since the last time the advisory committee met, the April 22nd hearing did take place in front of the court, and the judge issued an extensive order, which Watermaster served notice of on April 27. Denying Chino's motion for reimbursement of attorney fees and expenses paid to the ag pool. Again, the next time we're scheduled to be before the court is June 17. There are two motions on file for that day. The first is Watermaster's request for the court to receive and file the two most recent Watermaster semi-annual OBMP status reports. And the second motion is Ontario's motion regarding the November approval of the assessment package. That's a two-part motion. The first is for additional time to file a challenge. The second is, in the alternative, if the court denies the request for additional time, then to hear the challenge at that time. We're on calendar for 1:30 in Department S35, which is Judge Reichert's courtroom. He did let us know that I think June 3rd will be his last day. And so at some point here, we'll get an assignment of a new judge, at least for that hearing, if not for the case in its entirety. We'll keep you all posted as we hear more. On the governor's executive order, there are some deadlines for the state board to consider whether to adopt emergency regulations. Those deadlines are next week on May 25th, and so we're keeping an eye on what comes out of the State Board on that, and we'll update you as well. On the Kaiser Permanente lawsuit, the trial setting conference is July 1st. We have a mediation scheduled for the second half of June in that case as required by the court. That's all I have this morning. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Brad. Any questions from anybody? Anybody questions online?
All right, thank you. Right,
thank you, Brad. Appreciate it. All right, we'll move to the engineer report. Andy's here for that. I think these are substantively the same as committee, but I did understand that one of them, item number one, there was some pretty material discussion at one of the pools at least. So unless anybody objects, I think it's item number one, talking about safe yield. Can you give like a 2-minute version of that just in case there's other questions?
Sure. Yeah, we have an amended presentation. We made a presentation on the data collection and evaluation report last week, and we have an amended presentation that is based on what we think is a legitimate comment that came from the consultant for the state of California. And Garrett Rapp is here. He's the primary author of the report. And so if we can just maybe just focus on the amendment
to the
presentation would be the most efficient way to go about it.
Okay, great. Thank you for being here, Garrett.
Yeah, absolutely. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the advisory committee. I'll go through this pretty briefly, because again, this was materially similar to what we talked about, or what Andy presented last week. So our background, giving a little bit of the background of the court order that prompts the work that we've documented here on the annual data collection and evaluation, where we must collect data concerning cultural conditions annually, including land use, water use practices, production, water infrastructure, and evaluate it for the potential need for prudent management discretion to avoid or mitigate undesirable results and material physical injury, such as subsidence, water quality degradation, unreasonable pump lifts, anything like that. And if the evaluation of the available data suggests that there has been or will be a material change from existing and projected conditions or threatened undesirable results, that a more significant evaluation should be undertaken. As part of our data collection that is prompted in the court order, we collected land use data, groundwater pumping data that we only evaluate since Watermaster already collects that routinely. We collected data on managed recharge data to derive urban outdoor water use estimates and information on regional water infrastructure. We evaluated the data that we collected on two different ways. First, we evaluated the data that was in the 2020 safe yield reset or safe yield recalculation projection versus the actual data that we collected for the period of fiscal year 2019 through 2021. And then we compared the 2020 safe yield recalculation projection data versus the updated projection data that from the data that we collected. Our evaluation was defined to answer two major questions. First was, is there a potential for undesirable results that was not identified in the 2020 safe yield recalculation? Specifically, related to the court order, is there a potential need for prudent management discretion to avoid or mitigate undesirable results? And our second question, is there a reasonable likelihood that the cumulative impact of the differences between the new data sets and projections and the data and assumptions in the 2020 safe yield recalculation would result in the actual safe yield being greater than 2.5% more or less than the current safe yield? That's pursuant to another part of the court order. And that was part of our evaluation process. Some of the key takeaways from this, and this is where we amended the presentation from last week to address one of the comments from the state of California. I'll go over these again. So for the groundwater pumping, the evaluation of the new data that we collected indicates the potential for undesirable results related to the increased risk of new land subsidence and pumping sustainability challenges that weren't identified in the 2020 safe yield recalculation. The data on urban outdoor water use, the evaluation of what we've collected and the potential for future water conservation indicate that urban outdoor water use has been and will be less than assumed in the 2020 safe field recalculation, which would result in less net recharge. Our evaluation of land use data, managed recharge data, and regional water infrastructure data was not significantly different than the 2020 safe field recalculation projection. And then finally, to address the comment from last week, that there is not a reasonable likelihood that the cumulative impact of the differences between the new data sets and projections and the data and the assumptions in the 2020 safe field recalculation would result in the actual safe field being greater than 2.5% more or less than the current safe field. So that addresses the second question, which was the focus of our evaluation. To reiterate some of the conclusions and recommendations from our report, is to first address the potential for undesirable results resulting from greater groundwater pumping through Water Master's existing programs, which includes the development of the subsidence management plan for Northwest MZ1 and the forthcoming 2023 Recharge Master Plan update. Our second recommendation is to reduce the frequency of evaluation of the changes in land use, as our evaluation of the land use data that we collected in this process indicated that these changes happen slowly, and that to maintain a more efficient process, we recommend to reduce the frequency of this evaluation. Based on our evaluation of the urban outdoor water use data and the anticipated potential behavioral changes with the forthcoming legislation, we recommend to include this new information in the forthcoming model update and reevaluation of the safe field. And then finally, pursuant to the board's recommendation back in February to annually obtain these 20-year operating plans from the pumpers that forecast near and long-term plans for pumping and the use of managed storage, which is a small refinement to the data that we collect already. I think that concludes this presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Garrett and Andy. Appreciate it. Can
we put that last slide back up?
Sure.
So what's a little different and what's changing is that one of the conclusions that's in the report is that at this time we've done a qualitative assessment as required by the court order, and we do not see the need. We do not think the safe yield will change by 2.5% up or down. Therefore, we don't recommend doing anything else. So that was that fourth bullet that's up there is something that wasn't highlighted in the presentation that we showed you last week at the pools. That's the area that drew some comments, and we agree with those comments that that needs to be highlighted, that this is a conclusion of this effort this year. Had that been a different conclusion, we'd be talking to you and how do we address this and perhaps making recommendations about making a model run and that kind of thing. Having reached this conclusion, we think that ends the evaluation for the year. So I just want to be clear. I just want to highlight that's the point this time around.
All right, Justin.
Quick question. During the budget process, Watermaster shared a memorandum concerning kind of the long-term.
Justin, can you speak up a little? I can't hear you.
Absolutely. During the budget process, Watermaster shared a memorandum from WestGeos, I think from January, that was responsive to a request for a multi-year estimate for the costs of the safe yield process, inclusive, I believe, of the annual data collection. Does that result from this one, the first year's process, change those cost estimates that were included in that memorandum?
No, it wouldn't change cost estimates.
There might be a slight adjustment because, as Garrett pointed out, if you can go to the next slide, please. If you can see, the second bullet is a recommendation for reduced scope next year. It's reducing the frequency of the evaluation of changes in land use, so we're not doing it every year. So that annual report will cost a little less, but I don't think that's a material change that you would see that in what is a rough projection for the next 4 years.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, I will note that the budget for 2022-2023 is a more refined budget from what we showed in that January letter.
If there is going to be any material change to those projected estimates, you know, without doing too much work, if that could be shared, that would be helpful.
Sure. And I'm guessing if the number's lower, that's going to make Justin happy. So yeah, all of us happy.
Thank you. I'll be happy on behalf of all ratepayers. Yes.
Thank you. Good stuff. All right. On the line, I know that there was someone online.
Yes,
Pete?
Mr. Chairman.
Is that you?
This is Pete Hall. Can our consultant speak on behalf of his comments he made for the state of California?
For sure. Is that Rick?
Yeah, Rick Reeves, yes.
Yeah, go ahead, Rick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one question. So are you guys going to also change the written report or just the presentation here?
Rick, that conclusion is in the report. It's in section 2 of the report, I believe, Garrett, if I'm right. While Garrett's thinking about that, it's not in the final conclusions of the report itself, but we believe that that is captured in the report. We don't think that the expense in updating the report is merited. That's why we are highlighting it through the reports here, and it goes in the record. We are also going to post this presentation on our website along with the report, so it's clear that that is a conclusion of the report. And next year, we're going to go ahead and make a definitive statement about the qualitative evaluation of any changes in safe yield in the final report conclusions and recommendations.
Okay.
Yeah, well, Peter is correct that the...
Go ahead, Garrett.
Go ahead, Rick. The qualitative evaluation is included in each of the chapters that correspond to each of the different data sets that we collect. It's not explicitly mentioned in the final conclusion chapter, but we will in future reports make that more explicit.
Yeah, and just to be clear, it's also not in the table at the end, and the question is cumulative, not individual, and it's the 2.5%. So that's why I made the initial comment, and that's not in the report. Like, you've put it in the presentation. If that's the way you want to go, that's fine. Thank you.
And sorry, this is Marilyn Levin. May I also speak, Chairman?
Yeah, one second, Marilyn. Did you have a response to that, Peter?
Yeah, only to say, Rick, we appreciate your comment, and we think that will be an improvement in future reports. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Thank you. I was just going to respond, and maybe I was confused, that I thought at the last meeting there was a response to the engineer's comment that the evaluation that was done was qualitative and not quantitative. And so therefore there was no evaluation of the 2.5%, but it would be done. And now this report says in some sense a conclusion as if it were done with respect to the 2.5%. So I'm a little bit confused that before the response was it was a qualitative analysis, not a quantitative, and now this seems like the opposite, but I'm probably just confused.
Thank you, Marilyn. Peter?
Marilyn, I'm not sure if that is a question that you want an answer to or not, and I don't know what you yes. mean by before, but I'm not sure what you mean by before. I don't think we've ever said that the change in safe yield is greater than 2.5%. We've maintained our interpretation.
Sorry. I'll before at some presentation when this question was asked, are you going to do the analysis that was required by the court in 2017? And I thought the response either at a meeting or in writing at some point to comments was this was a qualitative report, not a quantitative report, and therefore that would be done the analysis of whether the 2.5% quota standard was met would be done at a later point, and I thought that was what was going to be included in this report. And now you have added an absolute conclusion. So that's what I meant by I was confused by the conclusion that's been added, as if there's been an analysis, which before at a prior meeting, I thought the explanation was there wasn't an analysis because it was qualitative, not quantitative. That's why I thought I was confused.
Janine, can you go back a slide, please? Back one. So to avoid being vague and getting lost in what was said before or what was thought or what was understood, we've done a qualitative evaluation as we believe is required by the court order. And the result of the qualitative evaluation, meaning we've not run the model, but the engineering consultant that acts as engineer for Watermaster has evaluated all the changes that they saw in actual data compared to projections and have concluded that there is not a reasonable likelihood that the cumulative impact of the differences between the new data sets and projections and the data and assumptions in the 2020 safe yield reset would result in the actual safe yield being greater than 2.5%, more or less than the current safe yield. Is that clear?
Yes, I just read that. And so thank you for explaining that you have now done a quantitative evaluation.
Marilyn, we have not done a quantitative analysis. We have not run the model. This is a qualitative evaluation of Wes Yost, the engineer for Watermaster. And this qualitative analysis has concluded that there is not a reasonable likelihood. We've not done a quantitative. The report doesn't say we've done an analysis. We've only used their professional judgment.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. I just wanted to clarify it. Thanks. Thanks,
Marilyn.
Mr. Kavunas.
Thank you. All right. Any other questions or comments?
Sorry about that.
Go ahead, Dave.
Typically, comments that are submitted and replies to those comments are included as an appendix to the report or the memo. Is this qualitative opinion included in the replies that would be in those appendix materials?
I believe, Dave, the report has a Q&A section like all of our reports do. So to the extent that there was a question if we did an analysis or not, it's been replied to in the report.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Any other questions? Yeah, go ahead, Justin.
Just real quickly on the next slide, just a recommendation moving forward. Noticed the including new information and understanding on urban water, outdoor water use in a forthcoming model update. And I assume that's in response to the new regulations as they're rolling out from the state and any potential impact on that in terms of recharge. Is that roughly a good understanding?
Yes. So to give a little bit more detail, For the 2020 safe yield recalculation work, we were considering the impact of the 2018 conservation legislation and determined that we didn't have enough information to make a specific change to the applied urban outdoor water use. But, you know, as we were getting more information and the new implementation of this legislation starts to come to fruition, that it's suggesting more and more that there will be less urban outdoor water use than what we assumed in the 2020 safe yield recalculation.
The recommendation I'd make is amongst the parties to the judgment, you have a large number of retail water agencies that have some role to play to implement
these new regulations as they move forward. Mm-hmm. And there's also been some questions as to how they're implemented and what the actual effect would be. I would recommend before coming to conclusions on that, that we have a conversation about that and we can relate to you our on the ground experience as to what we're doing to implement state regulations and what we believe will be the impact and help to inform that analysis. That would be the recommendation.
That's a really great recommendation. I appreciate that.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah, the court order actually requires us to take a look at the effect of the water use efficiency regulations. So part of it is going to be exactly what you're suggesting, Justin, is your projections of the effect that it'll have. And as we continue year to year, annual data collection, we'll look at the actual versus your projections.
Yeah, the reason I brought it up is that while it looks like it's a direct requirement on the end user, it's really a requirement on the water agencies, and then we're all kind of trying to figure out how to implement that and apply that requirement on customers, and it's not directly a one-to-one. So I look forward to that conversation.
Yeah, likewise.
Thank you. Thank you, Justin. Any other comments?
And I would just add to that that not only is that going to help this analysis, but as you know, there's a safe yield reset evaluation that's upcoming that information will be requested and included in that evaluation too. So
thank you. Other comments? All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know that we do have several workshops that are happening even this week on that topic. So hopefully we carry some of this stuff that those workshops are responsive to everybody's comments and suggestions. So.
Yeah, want to remind everybody that at 11 a.m. we're having that peer review workshop on the safe yield reset methodology update today.
Thank you, Andy. All right, anybody else wish to pull any of the items from the engineer report? All right, good. Then we'll move on to the CFO report, which is empty. So
I have nothing to report.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. All right, moving on to the GM update. Peter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First item is a continuous update as things still continue to evolve from IUA. Joshua, are you with us this morning?
Good morning, Peter and Chair Birch. This is Shivaji. Can you hear me?
Good morning, Shivaji. Yes.
Good morning, Chair. If it's all right, I'll provide a brief update. And Josh and Christiana are here if any additional detail is necessary. So I just wanted to update on a couple items from yesterday's board meeting. The first is that the board adopted a resolution declaring a water shortage emergency condition and adopted a framework of an emergency water conservation program. Included in that was what we call the allocation of an allocation. I'm not sure all the advisory committee is aware, but I believe Josh has been updating them on our work with Metropolitan. In late April, Metropolitan decided on two pathways for state project dependent areas. One was to limit outdoor watering to one day a week. The other was to establish volumetric limits. Working together with our retailers, we advocated for that approach and have employed that. Since that time, we've received our allocation. The retailers have worked really well together on making sure we could see how we allocate that. We've been talking about ways to adjust the allocation during higher demand months, and Met has been receptive to that. So we look forward to continuing to work with our retailers on executing that starting June 1st. In addition, yesterday, the board unanimously supported the certification of the environmental impact report for the Chino Basin program, a very important, exciting milestone in the development of this program. So we're going to continue working on the planning of that, but that was a pretty big step for us. So those are my two updates and happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Shivaji.
If there are no questions for Shivaji, we'll move on to the next item. The next item is an update on the special workshop that the board had on April 26th, a special board meeting, which was a workshop. I did give a recap of that at the pool, so I'm happy to give the recap again at the advisory committee if the committee would like to receive it.
Not hearing any.
Okay, so we'll skip that. We also gave the committees a brief update on the data portal status. Again, our effort is aimed at making it easier for everyone in the region that shares data for any purposes, whether it's reporting or planning uses, to make it easy to do it all in one place. So it's easy to upload data, whether it's actual production or whether it's planning data, and then make the data available and accessible and uniformly used. So planning reports for the region, as well as any reports of actuals, can rely on a consistent database that is accessible to everyone. So we're progressing on that. Next, wanted to let you know that on the 26th is the day of the regular board meeting. We have scheduled a one-hour special board meeting before that, 9:30 in the morning. It's another workshop, and it's intended to dive just a little deeper between actions that the board can take and what is the role and responsibility of the pool committees and the advisory committee for each of those items. That is open to everyone. It will be here in person in Sansevieria. The large conference room. Next on the list is an announcement that we are working to schedule a training opportunity on Robert's Rules of Order. We believe we've connected with a trainer that can deliver this in an online format. And we think that is something that will be very helpful to not only the leadership of the pools, today and in the future, advisory committee today and in the future, the board, and we plan to open it to all stakeholders. And so if secretaries, board secretaries from various agencies want to attend, if leadership from your boards and city councils wants to attend, they're welcome to drop in and listen. We're still working on the logistics, but we have a time frame for that. Not yet. We're still working out the negotiating the details, trying to get the best price we possibly can. Yeah, no, not yet. But we do think that's helpful. I mean, this whole confab depends on a lot of people getting together, everybody being heard, everybody having the ability to share their opinion, and then eventually the collective making decisions and moving forward. And Robert's Rules of Order are intended to accomplish just that. So we think that will be a helpful bit of information for everyone.
Be interesting to see how they amend the Robert's Rules of Order for meetings like this where you're half virtual. So.
Yeah, I think that'd be a great question to ask the trainer on how does it work. That, Mr. Chairman, concludes my presentation, okay.
Great.
Report. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody have questions on anything on Peter's reports or for him in general? All right. Thank you. Moving on to the IUA update. Josh, you given that today? Can't hear you, Josh. I see you, but.
All right. Good morning, Mr. Chair.
There you go. Gotcha.
Great. Nothing to add in addition to the written report. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Josh and or Shivaji? All right. Thank you both for being here. Appreciate it. All right. Moving on to the MWD other agency reports. Do we have Director Gardner or Matt or Craig on the line? Anybody want to give any other updates? All right. Okay. Moving on then. Thank you. Committee member comments. Anybody on the table? Okay. Comments? Okay. Anybody online have comments? I just have one. I want to welcome Brian Smith, who's in the room here. He's with Harupa Community Service District. He's going to be helping me out on some water resource stuff. So if you see Brian's name or his face around, be nice to him. He's a really nice guy. So, and I've told him how we all get along, and everything works really smoothly. So he's step up. All right. So good deal. So welcome, Brian, please. Thank you. All right. Any other business, Peter? All right. Thank you. And no confidential session, I'm assuming. All right. Okay. We're adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.